back to Real Bodybuilding with me, Aaron Sayerman. On this episode of Real Bodybuilding, I have on 8-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing Ronnie many times. And every time, it's always a pleasure. You know, Ronnie has one of the most positive attitudes of anybody that I've ever met, not just in bodybuilding, but in general. Ronnie always has a smile on his face. He never complains. And, you know, the work ethic that he shows at Ronnie Coleman Signature Series, working the booth, signing autographs, meeting fans, it exemplifies what it takes to be a champion in anything, because he doesn't complain and he just does what he has to do, and he does it with a smile on his face. So it's really my pleasure to have on, especially for an hour, interview Ronnie Coleman, and I hope you guys really enjoy the stories he tells and pick up some life lessons along the way, because I know I did. So here's Ronnie Coleman. I want to welcome to Real Bodybuilding, in my opinion, the greatest of all time, as far as bodybuilding goes, 8-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie, my pleasure to have you on Real Bodybuilding.
Okay, no problem. My pleasure.
Thank you, Ronnie. Ronnie, my goal, I have a goal for this interview. I was just telling you off the air. My goal, I've interviewed you plenty of times at shows and on the radio before, and you know, Dave has probably interviewed you as much or more than anybody. My goal is to ask you some questions that you haven't been asked before, which is not an easy task, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've been asked just about everything, every question you can imagine. I would think over the years, right?
Pretty much.
So it's gonna be a task. But at the end of the interview, let me know how I did. If I got you with anything that you haven't already answered a million times, okay?
Oh, okay.
First, before we get started, I want to touch on Ronnie Coleman Signature Series, which is obviously a very big supporter of RX Muscle, and we love you guys, your company, all your guys over there at the office, Brendan and Derek, and all those guys over there are awesome. Eric, you guys have a great, great team over there, and I want to thank you first of all for supporting RX Muscle. But I got to ask you, man, how this thing just keeps growing and growing. Where do you see Ronnie Coleman Signature Series in a few years?
Well, I'm trying to get it to number one in the industry. Like I was number one in the industry at one time.
It definitely seems like it's heading that way. I mean, I remember the first time I met Derek when me and Dave visited the BSN headquarters, and I have to be honest, it kind of struck me at the time. This is not many years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that BSN pretty much built everything off of Ronnie Coleman. So it's got to feel pretty good to be building Ronnie Coleman Signature Series off yourself, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Don't get no better than that.
No. Now you're using you to build you. That's the best thing, huh?
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back in time. I wanted to start back in time. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to tell a few stories, because you got two stories that I love that I don't think everybody's heard. But before we go into that, I had a few people who were I put it out on the internet that I was interviewing you, and I wanted some different questions. So somebody actually brought up your Grambling State, time at Grambling State playing football under Coach Eddie Robinson. And that's something I haven't heard you talk a lot about, because everybody wants to hear about the bodybuilding stuff. But can you tell me a little bit about playing football?
Well, I played football for 4 years at Grambling. And of course, that's not the most important thing that I'm more proud of. I'm proud of the fact that I got my degree in accounting, and I didn't get a scholarship. That's another thing a lot of people probably don't know.
No.
So you know, a lot of people think, you know, you go to school and you are playing football, you don't scholarship. And it was totally different with me. I didn't get no scholarship at all. And what happened was, out of high school, I didn't really get no letter of intent or anything from anybody.
Hmm.
So, you know, I thought I was pretty good, because I made all state, all district, and all this other stuff when I was in high school. We were a real small high school, and by the way, we were like a 4A, which is one of the biggest high schools in Louisiana.
Right, right.
Of course, we only had one high school in my hometown, because my hometown was pretty small. We only had about 15,000 people. Mm-hmm. But so what happened was all the guys that I played football with and went to school with were getting drafted, and they were all going to college. So they all decided they wanted to go drowning, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. I didn't know too much about colleges at the time, and so I just said, hey, well, if y'all want to drowning, so am I. All that body, they didn't play football. They went just to go to school.
Oh.
So you know, I was always in love with football. So I, well, I'm trying out for the football team. So you know, I tried out for the team and made it. So I played about, you know, all 4 years of college. The only thing about it is because I tried out and made it, they never offered me a scholarship. So I didn't really say anything about, to them about it because I didn't have any problem getting in school. I was on a fair grant, you know, that my family I'm from was didn't have really no money. You know, my mom was a seamstress. So I didn't have no problem getting that. I got a SSIG, which is government assistance, and the money that I only need to make up was a few $1,000s, and so I just got a student loan. So I never had any problem getting in school. So I never said anything to about a scholarship. I think about my last year, you know, after I finally made the first string, I finally went to them and said, hey, what about a scholarship? And they said, oh, okay, you made 10. We'll look into it and get back with you. Well, they never got back with me. So I never said, I never said anything because, you know, like I said, I had no problem getting into school. I had all these government assistance, and I even had a scholarship from Minority Accounting Association or something, because my degree was in accounting. So I kind of like, even though I didn't get, you know, a scholarship go to play football, I got a scholarship, you know, in accounting, because back in those days, I was pretty good in accounting. I was like a straight A student at one time.
Wow. Did you have to have a job?
You know what I did? Believe it or not, I was sports editor for the student newspaper. So I wrote stories. I was a good writer back in the day. I was an excellent writer. So I wrote stories for the newspaper. The hardest thing about being sports editor, you had to put the paper together, and that required some geometry. I wasn't too good at. So I always had the newspaper, the editor over the whole entire newspaper to help me out with that. But I was doing that, and before I started doing that, I was working for the police department.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, I was just an assistant. You know, I wasn't, you know, commissioned officer or nothing like that. I didn't go to school or nothing like that. I just, you know, just helped them write tickets and stuff like that. Parking tickets, nothing like major.
Right.
I didn't really ride around in the car and you know, patrol or nothing. I just, you know, we get in the car and, you know, and we go out and write all the cars, tickets that didn't have the pass, the parking pass.
Right, of course.
College parking pass, yeah. And that's basically what's how I got through school, you know, working in government assistance.
Did you have?
I never got a scholarship the whole 4 years I was on the team.
That's...
Even though I was starting and everything, you know, even when I started, I didn't get a scholarship.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Did you have hopes of playing in the NFL, Ronnie?
Yeah, I had talked to some NFL scouts during the year, and they said that they were going to be, you know, giving me a tryout and everything, but I ended up getting hurt, so I didn't play the whole year. So after school, I ran 40 and stuff like that, and I never got an official trial. You know, they never called me and said, all right, come on down. I had talked to one of the scouts from the Eagles, and I never got, like, come on down, the Eagles, and let's see what you can do out on the field. I never got anything like that. I had some agents come up to me like, hey, I can get you a trial. All you got to do is just tell me where you want to go, and I'll get you there. I'm like, dude, if you ain't talking about paying me no money, don't be wasting my time. So I never had nobody, you know, offer me no money or nothing, you know. It was like, I can get you this trial. All you got to do is just go over there and, you know, get on the field and do your thing. But I didn't have any money, so how am I going to get there? I was extremely poor in college. You know, the money I made from my job, that was money to pay school. It was like a work-study program. So
right.
I never really made any money, you know, to put in my pocket to, you know, buy like groceries or other stuff like that. All the money I made, I paid my tuition with it.
So at that point,
I didn't have any money out of college, you know. So I just, you know, never got an offer for tryouts, and I just gave up on it. I'm like, I ain't got no money to be going all these places trying to try out. So I'm just gonna go my own way, you know. So that's what I did. After college, I got my degree in accounting, put in all these resumes. I got a lot of interviews, never got hired, you know. Some friends of mine that were in my hometown decided that, you know, Louisiana wasn't the place for them to be, and I was right there with them because, like I said, I'm from a real small town. We only have about 15,000 people, and the only industry that we had was the paper mill, you know, the Louisiana Georgia Pacific paper mill. I mean, you got good money, but it was just, all they had was just labor and jobs, you know, working on the assembly line or whatever. And they wasn't really hiring, so everybody there in my city has already put in an application, was on the waiting list. You know, while I'm going through school, they put in their application, they're on the waiting list. So that was a dead end. So we all just went to Texas. My roommate, who was also my homeboy that I grew up with, his brother had a job in Dallas. And the funny thing about it was he didn't play football, so he was able to go on these interviews every week because the recruiters came to school during the weekends, you know. And every weekend I was getting ready for the game. We played out of town a lot, so either I was traveling or I was in meetings. You know, you had all these meetings and stuff, and you getting ready for a game. You had to go through all these team meetings and stuff. So I didn't have time to go do no interviews. But anyway, he did, and he ended up getting a job in Dallas at Sherwin Williams. So I'm like, wait a minute, if you going to Dallas, I'm going down there with you. So that's what I ended up doing. I followed him out here and slept on the floor because, like I said, I didn't have any money. I couldn't afford no rent or nothing. So I slept on the floor and put in all these resumes, and I got some interviews, but never got a job. So 3 months into it, you know, the guys were pressing me, hey, we need you to pay rent. You can't just be keep on the floor wasting the electricity and not working out. So I'm like, okay, I got to do something. So I just took the first thing that came along. I put in interviews everywhere. I had put in this interview with Domino's Pizza, and they hired me. You know, delivering pizza is better than nothing. And like I said, I needed to make some money to pay these guys some rent and stuff. So I took the first thing that came along. That was it. So I took the job.
Do you still keep in touch with any of these guys from back in the day, Ronnie? Like you played football with, or these guys that you stayed with originally?
Every now and then, I go back to some of the homecoming games, to the rivalry games. Yeah, if I see them, yeah, I'll talk to them. But we don't really keep in touch over the phone. You know, for a while we did. You know, after we graduated, we kept in touch for a long time. And but after a while, you know, everybody just starts falling off, and you don't hear from nobody no more.
Sure, that's kind of how it is. When you do run into people and they know what you've accomplished, people got to be, like, shocked, right? Like old friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, it's been over 25 years.
Yeah.
Since I graduated college. You know, a lot of people you just forget about, too, you know. You forget how they look. It's been
yeah.
Since you saw them.
Yeah.
So if you saw them, you probably wouldn't even know them. At least I would.
especially you, because you meet so many people on a daily basis when you travel.
Exactly.
And how many faces can you remember in your head, you know?
Exactly. So, I don't really keep up with nobody now that I went to school with. I don't talk to anybody, nothing. I pretty much lost contact with everybody.
You have a big family though. I know you're a very big family man. So I'm assuming you get to see relatives all the time, huh? Or as much as you can.
Yeah, our family is real close knit. So, of course, we're all basically here, right here in Arlington, Texas. I have a sister and an aunt and uncle, that's not here, and that's about it. But everybody else is here.
That's why you never moved, right? Because you didn't want to be away from everybody.
But that's why I never moved. And I never wanted to leave anyway. Once I won Mr. Olympia, of course, I remember I was working for the police department. I didn't quit,
No, I know.
I still worked there for about another 3-4 years. So I think I didn't quit till like my third, fourth Miss Olympia that I won.
Was that a tough decision, Ronnie, to finally?
Nope. No. After a while, I saw it coming. I got to the point where I didn't have time to go to work.
Yeah.
And I had a chief who told me I didn't have to come to work for a while, and once he left, I really didn't have that to watch my back and let me do what I want to do. I had to follow the rules. So
it was costing you, I would imagine. I imagine it was costing you more money to be there than you were making anyway.
Not really, because I believe it or not, I only took off about a couple months to get ready for the Olympia. Oh. After the Olympia, I went straight back to work. So, I remember I was getting retirement. I had like three or four retirement plans going at one time, and I had full health insurance coverage.
Oh,
so it was very profitable for me to stay there.
Yeah,
it was profitable all the way up to the time that I left, because remember, health insurance, and now I pay about $1,000 a month. So when I went to the police department, I didn't pay anything.
Right, right.
It was free. So it was profitable for me to stay. And plus, I was making money and I had retirement. I still made money. I only took off, like I said, about 2 or 3 months the whole year. The rest of the 9 months, I worked, even though I was getting ready for the show. I worked. I worked up to a certain point. Of course, you get, you start doing all this card depleting stuff, like 8 weeks, 9 weeks out. Of course, I ain't going in then.
No.
But for a while there, I did, and then it got to the point where, that was a little bit too much. So after I started winning the Olympia, that became number one priority, not working for the police department.
I remember a video, Ronnie. It was one of your earlier videos where I'm sure probably everybody's seen it who's listening. That where you are putting on your uniform and you're sitting in the I guess it's like a little meeting room where they're giving out assignments and stuff, and you're sitting in the air conditioning, but you're wearing the body armor and everything, the bulletproof vest, and you're already sweating profusely. And I lived in Texas.
I'm burning up.
Yeah, I lived in Texas, so I know it's hot as hell to be wearing that and be 300 pounds. Had to be horrible.
It was in the summertime it's 105, 106, 107 degrees. Ugh. Each and every single day.
Yeah.
And the humidity is about the same. So you got that vest on, and that thing don't breathe at all. So you just, I sweat it from the time I put it on to the time I took it off. Mm. So when I got home every night, every single night, I was drenched in sweat.
Wow. Yeah.
Totally drenched.
Did you, in your mind, when you decided to quit being a cop, was it ever a possibility that you would come back one day, or you knew it was done?
No. I pretty much knew I was done when I quit. Because, like I said, I was still in great shape and I was still winning. So I won another 5 Olympias after I quit. So I knew I wasn't going back. But, it's hard when you get out of the habit of working and getting ready for a show.
Oh, yeah.
Once I wasn't doing that no more, my body, it got used to just working out only. And work wasn't a priority. It wasn't a necessity either.
Right.
So, like I said, it ain't like I had to work, because even when I wasn't winning the Olympia, I still had, you know, all these endorsements and stuff. So,
of course. Yeah.
There was no reason for me to even consider going back, you know, because my mentality had totally shifted by that time. There's no way I could go back to work and work out and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
When I was doing it was okay, yeah. When I had that mentality that, you know, this is what I do every day.
You had a routine.
I had a habit of it. Yeah, once I got out of the habit of that routine, it was over.
hard to even think about going back and doing it again now, huh?
Exactly. It was real hard for me to think about going and doing it again.
I have two stories that I love of yours that I love. I'm going to ask you to tell one now, and I'll ask you for one after the commercial at some point, if you don't mind telling them. One of them, the first one I wanted to ask you to tell, in case some people hadn't heard it, was the one where you talk about how you started to do the lightweight baby and all the stuff, you know, all the sayings that you're... I'll tell you a funny story. So me and my wife, Darielle, were in Brazil. And we're walking, we're there for the Arnold Brazil, and we're walking down the beach, the Copacabana beach, and we go past this store, and I tell her, holy sh, Darielle, look at this. And we look, and it's two t-shirts. One of them says, lightweight baby, and the other one says, yeah, buddy, in English. I swear, they're selling them. The only ones that were in English, and that's what they said. I couldn't believe it. On the beach in Brazil, it was crazy, but... So it's funny because those sayings, I hear people, like when I was in Australia, you'll hear people that were like normal people, but you're like, yeah, buddy. And I'll be like, that's for Ronnie. You know? So you've affected the whole culture of the world. I mean, not just bodybuilding, but those sayings have kind of went expanded into the mainstream, which is crazy. So how did that start? Give us the story. I know the story and I love it, but if you don't mind, will you tell it?
I was in the gym one day, and like for the most part, I was always in the gym pretty much by myself. And it's real hot. I mean, it's kind of boring there a little bit, you know. And I'm just in there one day, and I'm just like, man, I'm kind of bored. I'm tired. I'm hot. I'm in here alone. And the only thing is making noise is the stereo. And to me, that was kind of boring. So I said, I just started thinking of something to say. I need to say something to, you know, get myself going. So like I said, I was in the gym by myself and kind of boring. I was real hot and bothered. And, you know, I'm thinking a way to fire myself up, you know. So I think I was getting ready for a heavy set. Like, man, I need to psych myself up. So I just need to think this is lightweight. And I'm saying that to myself. You know, I'm thinking that to myself, and all of a sudden I just blurted it out. You know, just being a help. So every time I got ready to lift up heavy, I was just like, okay. Let me use my little phrase, you know, and psych myself out. And it just caught on. And after a while, you know, I got tired of saying that. So I like, okay, I need to think of something else to say. So the next thing that came to my mind was, you know, think of something else light. And I'm like, peanuts would be light. I'm from the country, so. That's just the way you think, you know. So... I just said, you know, ain't nothing but a peanut. Then I finally got tired of saying that, so I just thought of something else to say, and I couldn't really think of nothing associated with the weight. So I used lightweight and ain't nothing but a peanut, so I was just like, yeah, buddy, you know. I'm from the country, so you think these funny things to say. That's basically how those things got started. You know, I'm in the gym, bored, nothing, trying to psych myself up, those were the first things that came to my mind.
How often when you're at a show or walking around, like even in normal life, do people yell out to you, "Yeah, buddy," or "Lightweight"?
Everywhere I go.
That's funny. Ronnie, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break and we'll be right back, okay? With the eight-time Mr. Olympia, greatest of all time. Be right back.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustane RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Formastanzol is an amazing compound that should be part of every cycle, not only for muscle gains and fat loss, but for longevity and health. Formastanzol is one of the world's most potent aromatase inhibitors. Use Formastanzol for on-cycle estrogen and progesterone control, as a standalone anabolic fat burning agent, and during post-cycle therapy. Are you using Muscle Research's revolutionary transdermal Formastanzol? Available at MrSupps.com with free shipping.
Every bodybuilder scours the supplement world looking for the secret of how to get huge and ripped. But what if I told you there's a product that'll give you a year's worth of gains in mere weeks? I bet I have your attention now. Let me introduce you to Methyl S, Ion Tech Labs brand name for pure, uncut methylstenbolone. If you seek strength and massive size gains, Methyl S promises just that. And no conversion to estrogen, so no gynecomastia. That's right, no chance of growing male breasts or bitch tits. No estrogen also means no bloating. And Methyl S is the strongest legal pro-hormone on the market. It's comparable to the strength and mass-building effects of the powerful oral anabolic steroids, Anadrol and Dianabol. Sound too good to be true? Well, try Methyl S for yourself. Go to www.IonTechLabs.com for the most powerful legal designer steroid of all time. Order your bottle of Methyl S today at IonTechLabs.com.
All you need is one more peptide company, right? That's what I said too until I was introduced to HardcorePeptides.com. Have you ever wondered what was really in your research chemicals? I have, but with Hardcore Peptides, they take pride on their exact measurements and high quality ingredients. If you are doing research, do it with HardcorePeptides.com. Use the discount code PJ20 for 20% off HardcorePeptides.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting QuestProteinBar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out QuestProteinBar.com now. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
All right, I'm here with the greatest of all time, eight-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie, I'm calling you the greatest of all time. I know you don't say that personally, but we had a conversation. You always see this on the internet, on the boards, people talk about it on the radio shows. Everybody always discusses who's the greatest of all time. And I want to know, like, if you look, if you were to take yourself out of it and pull yourself back, if you were to look at you at your best and all the other, you know, greats like Dorian Yates, Lee Haney, all the other top Mr. Olympias, Jay Cutler, Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you put everybody in their very best shape, wouldn't you? Wouldn't, I mean, I'd have to give it to you. I don't know.
I can't argue with that.
I mean, nobody else. Ronnie, what do you think was your best year? I mean, I always look back to when you were your biggest, when you were 289 pounds. But is that your best?
I was like the first Olympian that I won.
Yeah.
That one always stand out to me. I guess because of the first one I won too. But I like conditioning and everything. I don't seem like I was able to match that no more. It just goes like at least I progressed on and I didn't get worse,
Right.
From my first one. I continued to evolve, basically.
Yeah, you got a lot bigger, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, but I've always my first one was always my favorite look.
That was a super interesting year because obviously nobody expected you to come in there and win.
Not even you.
That's what I was going to ask. Not even you.
Not even me.
And a lot of those guys were
just as shocked as anybody else.
So when they called out third, fourth, third, second, it had to be pretty unbelievable as you move up the ranks, right? As they call out each.
Yeah, because at the time my only goal at that time was to make the top 5. I never thought I'd be winning Miss Olympia, to be honest. A lot of people don't know it, but a lot of people do know that the only reason why I got in the sport of bodybuilding because the guy told me to give me a free membership to the gym.
I know.
My number one reason, my main reason for bodybuilding, not to be Mr. Olympia, because I didn't know what that was. Actually, at the time, I knew it was a great title to win, and it had Mr. in front of it, so it sounded good too.
Yeah, you said.
I didn't really understand the concept or the reality of winning it.
You always
after I started bodybuilding, of course I did, but I just learned that how prestigious that title was, and that I would never win it because of that.
Ronnie, you always say that you were so fortunate that that Brian Dobson saw that into you, because obviously, I mean, you've said before, I've heard you say that you were put.
I never in my whole entire life wanted to buy the deal. Never even thought of it.
But it turned out
a friend of mine showed me a picture of some guys like that, and I'm like, whoa, no, I couldn't do like that. That's the first thing in my mind. So I like, if you can't get like that, well, you're not gonna try to do it.
No.
I didn't think I had a snowball chance of hell looking like that. So I ain't wasting my time. I'm wasting my time on what I know I can't accomplish. And at the time, I just got on with the police department, so I'm trying to, learn the law and learn how to be a police officer.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing, and this is what paying the bills for me. So, you don't think of anything else. You think of what you got going on at the time. And, I just hired on, so after, working for Domino's for the last 2 years and struggling to buy groceries and struggling to pay the car note and struggling to pay actually every bill that I had. I was just looking forward to just being able to get out of debt at this time, not to, that's why, when Brian first asked me the first 4 or 5 times, I told him, no, I wasn't interested in that. I didn't want to try to become that. But when he gave me the option of not paying for a membership, eliminating one more bill, and I got a positive now, so I got a reason to do this.
Exactly.
But, my only reason is to not pay for a membership, not to to have any dreams or aspirations of being a pro. I didn't even think I could make pro. I was just doing just local stuff, and I was just happy just doing that because I was didn't have to pay membership.
Ronnie, after struggling so much financially when you grew up and then even into college and even after that, once you reach that level of financial success, and I know you're doing great now, how do you think that changed your outlook coming from such meager beginnings to now where you're doing so great? How do you think that you look at things differently than other people?
It only motivated me to work harder.
Yeah.
Each and every single year. And, you know, of course, once you get that motivation, it's there. You know how to manifest it. You know how to make it a reality. And once you've done that, you pretty much set for life, basically.
Right. Let me ask you about 98 when you won. There were a lot of guys that figured they were going to win. You know, everybody from Sean Ray to Flex Wheeler, Kevin Livroni. When you won, what was the feeling from these guys? Was everybody, like, pissed off at you? Or were they shocked? What was the – a lot of bitter people after that.
Yeah, of course, I don't really get off into too much. But I'm just thinking about it. I'm quite sure the first thing everybody was shocked because I was right there with them. They had to be because I was shocked, you know, and I was the one that won. So I can only imagine what everybody else, you know, was thinking and feeling like it can't be. It was luck, you know. Ain't no way you can do it again, you know. But, of course, we all know what happened.
Was that your most memorable Mr. Olympia experience?
Oh, yeah, by far. To be honest with you, that's the most memorable thing in my whole entire life. nothing else will be able to top that moment. Nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm sure it was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the most, that is definitely the highlight of my life. I can't see nothing. Because I don't play the lottery. I can't see nothing.
Let me ask you, I guess I bet a not as pleasant experience in 2006 when you finally lost. That had to be pretty, I mean, because you were not just Mr. Olympia some of the time, you're Mr. Olympia all the time, you still are. In a lot of people's eyes, they look
exactly
at you.
Yeah.
So when you lose, it had to be like, it almost had to be just as shocking as winning, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because once you've been on a winning streak for so many years in a row, you don't think you can lose.
No, I'm
so
sure.
When you do, it's yeah, like you say, it's just as shocking as winning the first one. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Ronnie.
Even though that was a very disappointing period in my life, it wasn't the most disappointing thing that ever happened in my life. You know, like it wasn't like winning it was the most the biggest thing that happened in my life. Losing wasn't the biggest thing that happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great moment, but it wasn't the worst thing that happened.
when you look back on that now, Ronnie, and you look back, I don't know if you ever look at pictures or anything like that back at that time, do you feel like in retrospect, you should have won that show, or do you understand, like, you know, obviously it's been a long time since then, and you've done a lot since then, but if you look back, do you feel like, you know, you could have had that one, or was it like you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm always think I should have won that one. That's why I was so shocked that when I lost, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, you know, I was out of shape and all this kind of stuff, and wasn't on my peak. Of course, I wasn't, like, tip-top. Sharp in the morning show. I could have been a little bit harder, but I don't think I was to the point where I was just way off.
Right.
Where I should have lost.
You feel like you got to knock out the champ, basically, right? And you weren't knocked out.
Yeah. I wasn't like just blown away. You know, I wasn't knocked out. That's for sure. No way.
I know that. That in bodybuilding, you kind of, after that happened, you kind of, you weren't paying as much attention to the sport for a while there. You just kind of pulled yourself back from watching what was going on. At this point now that you're involved with the supplement company, it's been a little time, do you follow the actual sport of pro bodybuilding closer?
No, not really. I still don't. after I kind of got away from it, I really fought it at all. I still go to the Olympia and the Arnold Classic every year, so of course I'm gonna know what's going on. I still read the magazine, so I still see what's happening. But as far as just, you know, being a big time fan where I just keep up with each and every single thing that happens, I don't do that anymore.
Now you gotta
know about what's going on, and that's about it.
Well, one of the things that I know firsthand from seeing you at shows is you're still friends with a lot of the guys. You still keep a relationship with a lot of people that a lot of the top pros.
Oh no, yeah, especially the guys that I came along with. You know, I really keep up with those guys and what's going on with them. It's to me, it's kind of like a little fraternity, you know.
Yeah.
Well, coming up, we went through some things. We experienced some things. Before I won the Olympia, you know, I learned some things from some of the guys too.
Yeah.
So, of course, I still keep up with them, and like I say, it's like a little fraternity.
Yeah, it really definitely is. I totally noticed that, and everybody, all the guys seem to be. Even if they don't necessarily like each other, everybody's still nice to everybody, you know. And especially from that era, there's a certain level of camaraderie that you don't really see as much with the guys that are just coming around now.
No.
You think that, Ronnie? You think that's because of the European tours that you guys did together?
Yeah, I know it is because you know we depended on each other back then. You know, if somebody needed something, you helped them out.
Right.
You know. You wasn't, you know, you didn't have no attitude. We depended on each other to survive those things. Those were pretty grueling tours. To do seven shows in 11 days.
Crazy.
I mean, that's a task in itself because each show is in a different, it's like a different country.
Yeah.
To you because, you know, you're in Spain one day and you're in Germany the next, you're in Italy the next, then you're in Russia, and you're in Budapest. You're just in so many different places, you know, so many different strange places.
How'd you guys make it to the gym, Ronnie? How'd you make it to the gym? You couldn't.
You don't even have time to go to the gym. Some of the time, you know, we couldn't even sleep because one time we were stuck in the airport for 8 hours because our flight got delayed. So you run into all kinds of problems out there. So anything can basically happen.
All right.
So it's the struggle for everybody, you know. It's the struggle for everybody.
But going through,
we're all got together, going through it.
Yeah, going through hard times together brings people together, right? That's
exactly,
just how it works.
Yeah, it brings you a little bit closer together.
Okay, so I got a story. This is my second story I'm going to ask you to tell, if you don't mind, from the European Grand Prix. With Flex Wheeler. You remember the vitamin story? That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Like I was telling people in one of the seminars, I kind of give Flex Wheeler some of the credit for my success. Because, like I said, when I came along, of course, I didn't know too much about the sport. I learned from the guys that I competed against. And Flex was one of the main guys that really opened up to me and enlightened me to what being a bodybuilder was actually all about. Because at the time, I didn't know anything. And the guy that taught me, because I was, you know, working full-time for the police department, he just taught me the basics of just dieting, posing, working out as a bodybuilder for sure, you know. He gave me a few vitamins, you know.
I remember. Didn't he say something about being a big dog, being on the porch with the big dog?
He didn't give me the main one. So I just, you know, Flex was winning all these shows, and I had a thing for just going to people that was on top, you know, because I wanted to be where they were. Yeah, it's something that I've done all my life, and even when I was in college, if I went to a class where I wasn't the smartest one, I would go to the guy that was and try to learn from him and how to be the smartest one, you know. Right? Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, teach me some of this stuff. And, you know, you could get me study with them. So same thing happened. Oh, and I got a sport body. I didn't know anything about it. And next, like I said, Flex was winning all the shows. So one day on one of the tours, you know, he was winning every show. I'm like, okay, I need to go back in time and do what I used to do. So I just went to Flex room one night. Hey, man, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, you ain't taking all the right vitamins. You got to take some D and E and F. And I'm like, okay. And then, he said, it's just plain and simple. If you want to be up here with the big dog, you got to get up here on the porch. and do what we're doing. Because apparently you ain't. So Flex taught me a lot about, you know, what it means to compete as a bodybuilder and be on the same level.
I wonder if Flex now, if he could take it back, because it definitely cost him.
Of course, you know, he wouldn't want to take it back, you know. He was like, you know, by the time, Flex, to be honest with you, Flex didn't stop giving me advice then, because even when I won Miss Olympia, the reason why I won, because Flex talked me into using Chad Nichols as my nutritionist.
That's right.
So after he had gave me all this advice, you know, to the point where I started beating him in some of the Grand Prix, the small shows, even, you know, in an advanced stage of my career, he was still giving me advice. Hey, man, you need to give this guy Chad. He's real good. He can get you where you want to be. I'm like, oh, you think so? He's like, yeah. So I called him and everything. You know, Chad didn't even try my phone call. So I'm like, hey, man, why you need to die? You ain't going to return my phone call, man. You got to call me or something or whatever you think I should work with. He's like, no, you just need to keep calling him. So that's exactly what happened. I just kept calling him. He finally called me back. And needless to say, that's when I, you know, went to that next level. To another level in the sport, you know.
Yeah.
With a nutritionist that, you know, knew everything it took to be Mr. Olympia.
Wow, Flex really helped you out, man. I had no idea.
Flex came through again for me, you know. It was because of him that I hate to say that I won my first Mr. Olympia and put me in the history book.
Wow. Ronnie, I'm going to ask you a few questions from some of the listeners. I've got a bunch of emails. I'm going to go through some of the questions, some better ones. Go ahead, and if you can, answer them. Michael Moore wants to know, was there ever a year that Ronnie actually felt like he should or could have potentially lost the Olympia? Was there a year you felt like never? I didn't think so.
You don't, that don't, as a champion, you don't never think that. No. Once you get that, actually, you know, it's a different, a lot of people don't know it because a lot of people haven't been world champion. Once you have won a world champion, you've been a world champion, your mentality of thinking becomes totally different.
Right.
So when I, you know, even at, when I see and I watch other sports where other people have won world titles, I know what they're thinking, you know. They're thinking that, you know, it's the best thing ever, and they don't want to let go of it.
Right.
You know, you want to win, and you want to do what it takes to win every single year.
Right, of course.
So you become a different person once you won a world title. You're never the same again. I'll just say it like that. Your thinking has totally changed. You don't think normal no more.
Next question is from Kevin O'Furum, who wants to know, he's also a Dallas guy. You probably know Kevin. He's a bodybuilder going for his pro card at USA's. What did fellow police officers think of you when you were competing, and did people's, what were people's reactions like at traffic stops?
You know what? People will always tell me, you know, they come through my career and they try to find me and try to get pulled over by me and all this kind of stuff, but I never really paid a lot of attention to people at traffic stops, you know. I actually quit pulling people over once I won Miss Olympia because I didn't want to be recognized.
Makes sense, yeah.
So I kind of just stayed to myself, basically, and just did what I was told to do or asked to do, you know, which is going on calls and being dispatched to certain locations. So I never really paid too much attention to people in traffic lights and stuff like that. And like I said, I quit pulling people over and stuff once I won because I didn't really want to be recognized anymore.
How about the fellow police officers? Were they supportive of the bodybuilding thing?
Of course, yeah. They were, like, for all I knew, you know, the guys that I worked with, when I say worked with, I say guys that worked the same shift that I did, which was the evening shift, yeah. They were very supportive. And some of the other shifts, you know, that were, you know, I was either coming or going, you know, they showed support too. You know, they would come up to me and congratulate me, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Coy Allen.
They were very supportive.
That's good. I figured. Coy Allen wants to know if Ronnie really thinks the weights are that light.
You know what? To be honest with you, a lot of, like I was saying, once you become a champion, you kind of have a different mentality. Yeah, not only were the weights that light, I didn't believe anything in the gym was too heavy for me to pick up and try. I tell people all the time, you know, back in those days, when I was saying all that light-based stuff, I actually believed that. Not only did I believe that, I believed in my mind that I was Superman and wasn't nothing I could do.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, when you see me 5 weeks out from a show deadlifting 800 pounds, because in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, I can't be hurt.
Right.
Because I'm Superman. And that's the way I felt. I felt like I was the strongest guy in the world, basically.
That mindset, knowing, being that confidence, it seems like that's required, like, to be a champion, to be the very best. You have to know beforehand that you're the very best, huh?
Exactly. And when you think you're the best and you are crowned the best, that level of confidence is through the roof. I just feel like that.
IFBB Pro Andrea Holiday wants to know, who's your favorite physique girl, and what is your thoughts on the women's physique division?
The women's physique, you know what, to be honest with you, I haven't really seen any women's physique shows. I can say that I've seen some of the figure shows, and I like, I hate to say it, but the top girls.
Yeah.
Aaron Stern, yeah. And Nicole Wilkins. I think two of the best girls out there. And of course, bodybuilding too. You know, I'm big time into the main bodybuilding. I think Alex Kyle is one of the greatest female athletes of all time. And I'm also very high on. Good. I always get second. I can't think of her name now. Helen Iris.
The second tires?
Spanish girl.
There's been a few. You're thinking Oksani?
Yeah, Oksani.
Yeah. What do you think about women's bodybuilding, Ronnie? It seems like things are, you know, they just got rid of women's bodybuilding out of the Arnold Classic, so there won't be a Miss International this year.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, this is relatively new news. The Arnold Committee decided to drop female bodybuilding for the first time.
I think that's the worst thing that ever happened to the sport of bodybuilding.
Mm.
I love women bodybuilding more than I love men. If I had my chance, I'd rather watch the women any day than watch the men. But let me just say it like this. I would rather watch women doing anything than watch guys.
I know you were a big fan of Linda Murray, and you know everybody is. Anybody, she's a great person and phenomenal bodybuilder.
He is the greatest of all time.
Fuad, IFBB Pro Fuad Abiad wants to know, how much is the most pizza he ever ate in one day?
We had a pizza eating contest when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
I think I ate about 25 slices.
Whoa.
Which, it comes out to be like two large pizzas.
That's not that.
In college, you know, I was the biggest eater in the world. Couldn't nobody out-eat me. Like I said, we had pizza eating contests every Tuesday, because every Tuesday was all you could eat at Pizza Inn for like a dollar. I've eaten two large pizzas.
How big, Ronnie, do you think being able to eat plays a role in bodybuilding? Because, you know, if I look back at who the really good bodybuilders of all time, they're all able to put down some serious food.
The guy that can eat the most is going to be the biggest guy.
Yeah.
So that's where size come from.
Eating.
I didn't know that until I got with Chad Nichols.
Right.
And that's when I started putting on serious size.
You got to be able to eat.
So I started eating probably twice as much as I did before I got with him.
Andreas Gonquist wants to know, if you could go back 25 years in time, what would the piece, if you could give yourself advice 25 years ago, what would it be?
College was the best time of my life. And if I could go back 25 years, I would have went and got my master's degree.
Really?
In college.
Really?
Yeah, and extended it. Because, to be honest with you, and I haven't told a lot of people this, I had signed up for the Air Force to be an officer.
Wow.
To be an officer, you had to get a master's degree. So I had signed up for grad school, and then when it came time to report, because I was working with Domino's Pizza and I just bought a car, I couldn't go back. So I didn't report for duty for the Air Force.
And they just let you go, huh?
And everything, and they didn't do anything. They just let go.
Huh. Well, it worked out for you in the long run, Ronnie. It worked out for you.
It worked out in the long run. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant for me to be an Air Force officer.
Ali Alfani wants to know if you watch any TV series these days, like any actual TV shows, other than like sports and stuff.
Oh, I watch a ton of TV. My favorite show on TV right now is True Blood.
Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah.
My favorite TV show of all time is Smallville.
Smallville, cool.
I think that's the best show ever on TV. And I miss it. I miss being Mr. Lincoln. But yeah, I watch a ton of TV. Supernatural is another favorite show of mine. True Blood, Dexter,
yeah.
Another one of my favorite shows. I got a lot of shows, man. I got a ton of shows that I watch on TV.
You watch any other HBO shows like Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, I watched that. That's another favorite show of mine. So, yeah, I'm a big-time TV fan.
What did you think of that Red Wedding? Did you see that episode yet? I don't want to give it away for the for Game of Thrones, the wedding scene.
Oh, man, that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, everybody freaked out. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I saw that. And, man, that was the wildest scene on TV.
Crazy, right?
For a long time.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I kind of like the way that happened.
Yeah. It was a surprise, right?
Yeah, it goes to show you, you don't follow the king.
Yeah.
You gotta have respect.
Yep.
Gotta have respect.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I don't want to ruin it for anybody else out there, but they should go watch the third season of Game of Thrones. It has a pretty crazy ending, or the second to last episode is pretty crazy.
So you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know what season that just ended, but I just got into it just this last season.
Okay.
To be honest, I saw one of the guys on the Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
He was on there, the midget.
Yeah.
He was on there, and I'm like, oh. That looked like a good show. So I started watching it from then on.
That's cool.
I don't know what season I just watched. Or is that the third or fourth?
Third. That was the third season.
Okay. Well, see, I just got into it the third season. I missed the first two.
Yeah, you ought to go back and watch them, Ronnie. There's some good episodes back in those first two.
Yeah. I think I do need to go back and watch them. Because this is a really good show. So I think that's what I'm going to do one day. I'm going to go rent season 1 and 2.
Yeah, of course. Nobody rents anything these days, huh? You know, no Blockbuster. I'm going to let you go in a second, Ronnie, but I wanted to mention, I talked to Brandon and Derek over there, Ronnie Coleman Signature Series, and they told me about some awesome new products. This new Beta Stem, you guys got a new fat burner, Aminotone, and King Mass. Man, tell me, how excited are you about three new products, man?
Oh man, I'm extremely excited because these are some. It's like, you know, it's like with anything else, you got to keep up with the competition.
Of course.
So as long as you can keep up with the competition, you're doing pretty good in the sports. You know, it reminds me, you know, when I was getting started in the sport. You know, I had to keep up with everybody. By doing what everybody was doing. So, same thing here. You know, you can't make it to the top if you're not doing everything that everybody's doing. So, everybody's already got their stuff going pretty much here. So, I'm on my way, and that's why I'm so excited about our next three products because people have been asking for them. You know, our distributors have been asking for them, and now we got them, and I can't wait till they are released. But now they're still, believe it or not, they're still in the testing phase. We're still testing these products out to make sure, you know, they are. We've been testing this fat burnout for 16 months.
Yeah.
That's over a year.
Yeah.
That's just how complicated this new business venture that I've gotten into. Because,
yeah.
Like I said, you want to be the best, you want to be very competitive. You don't want to put nothing out that's going to come back and bite you in the end, end up being a lawsuit. So it's just so much preparation and hard work and study that goes into coming out with these great products. It's just a lot of trial and error and a lot of investigation.
Sure.
Into coming out with, you know, what's going to work, what's going to be the best thing for you, what's going to be best for the people that's taking your product, because you don't want nobody to, you know, have no bad reaction to anything.
Right, of course. Well, I've
so
tried.
You, like I said, you study and you go back and you go through all this trial and error until you get it right. And that's what's, you know, taking so long on this fat burner, but it, you know, in the end, we want to make sure that, you know, it's perfect, basically.
Well, I can tell you, Ronnie, I tried one of the more recent versions of the Beta Stem, and man, it kicks ass. So people definitely, yeah. I don't know however long it took. I guess it paid off because it's a very good product.
We're going on almost 2 years now of trying to test this thing and get it right. So I think we just about got it.
I think you did. Ronnie,
I'm real excited.
Yeah, Ronnie, I'm super excited to try the new products, and thank you very, very much for coming on Real Bodybuilding. I hope I did okay, and we talked about some stuff. Maybe there's some new stuff that you hadn't talked about before, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, anytime. You know how I feel about that, you guys. So
yeah.
Whenever y'all want to talk, I'm here to talk.
You're the best, Ronnie. We really appreciate it. I know everybody at RX Muscle is going to love this interview. And go out there and buy some Ronnie Coleman Signature Series products because they're the best. So thank you, Ronnie.
Yeah, buddy.
Lightweight.